Our series, The Advent Conspiracy, this is week four. The idea, the premise behind it is to return Christmas back to what God intended for it to be. We've talked about how culture has kind of hijacked the Christmas season from us. It's turned it into a materialistic thing. It's turned it into decorations and presents and whatever else comes with it. And so we've been talking about how to return it back to what it was meant to be. And so this week, we will wrap it all up. The first 3 weeks were worship fully, spend less, and give more. And if you missed any of those, that's okay because it all comes together today with love all. Everything we do in this world, if we're attempting to be like Christ, has to be filtered through love. And several weeks ago, we talked about how different things get defined by our culture, by the way we grew up, by our experiences, and I think love is one of those things. When I say the word love, everybody in here probably has a different idea of what that is in their head. And so it's not that idea of love that we're supposed to filter our actions and our words and our thoughts through, but it's the idea of love that God defines for us. It's the idea of love that's driven by mercy, that's full of grace, the kind of love that drove Jesus to leave the right hand of the Father and come to earth to live a human life and to die on the cross for us. So today, the Christmas season, tomorrow, the rest of your life, all of these things are centered on the core of love. What is love and how do we live it? I talked a little bit about the word agape a few weeks ago, and I just wanted to put that back up there because this is the kind of love that Christ is talking about when he tells us to love our neighbor as ourself. This is the kind of love that God calls us to live. This is the kind of love in 1 John when it says God is love. God is this kind of love. It's a selfless love, a love that says, I want what's best for you, even if it means I have to sacrifice my things or even myself. It's about putting others before ourselves. It's about putting the well-being of our neighbor in front of our own well-being. So today we're going to look at Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, to kind of get an idea of what exactly is God calling us to when he calls us to love all. It says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. I did a lot of thinking and praying this week about just exactly how I wanted to deliver this message because a lot has happened in the last couple of weeks. We had the tragedy at Newport. We had this nonsense with the Mayan calendar, and the world was supposed to end on December 21st. We have all these other things that are taking away from the focus of the season. They're drawing our attention elsewhere when our attention should be on Christ and the work that he wants to do in our life. And so as I thought about this, as I think in the wake of this tragedy at Newport, in the wake of all the other things going on, just yesterday, Jenny and I were watching the news and somebody walked into a church as they were practicing their Christmas program and did the same thing. They opened gunfire. I mean, people are just doing evil things. There's a darkness that hovers over our world. And it's magnified in the Christmas season because dark is meeting light in that constant battle. And so when I think about that, I think, what does it look like in this day and age, with culture the way it is, with all these circumstances that we are experiencing and seeing everywhere around us, what does it look like to love all? What does it look like to model agape love as the church? That's the Mayan calendar. And I heard a joke earlier this week. There was a Mayan man working on the calendar when a friend of his came along and asked him, can you give me a hand with some of these rocks? I need to move them before my wife gets home. And the guy says, you know, I really need to finish this calendar, but I guess if I don't, it won't be the end of the world. That's one of the few things that I read about this that actually kind of made me laugh. But most of the things that I saw about centered on this phenomena of the Mayan calendar really bugged me. I don't know if you guys heard on the radio the end of the world sale for that car lot in Des Moines where the guy was telling you could come get a car for $5 down. And if the world didn't pay, you got a car for $5, and if it did, you don't have to worry about it. And I saw post after post on Facebook and Twitter and all these other places about end of the world parties and how people were going to do this or that or the other because just in case the world ended, they were going to go out having fun. And I thought, man, what a sad world we live in. Is that really the mindset that God wants us to have? I mean, I know Scripture says that we don't know the day or hour. And all of us are probably pretty sure that it wasn't going to be December 21st, and we probably went on with our day as usual. But I wonder, just for a day, if we actually lived like it was the last day of our life, how we as Christians would respond to that. Would we do the silly stuff that other people were posting about on Facebook? Would we go out and buy a car because we knew we wouldn't have to pay for it? Or would we go out trying to live the kind of life that Christ called us to live up until that point? Would we do everything we could to make sure that God knew where we stood in His kingdom? There's a song that I like that kind of talks about this idea of what if this is our last day? How do we live if we know that there's no tomorrow? And I'm going to have Isaac play it. It's not a Christian band that does it, but I think the message is very powerful. And so the lyrics are on there. I'll let you watch it, and then we'll talk a little more when it's over. Try to get away from that because I didn't really know if I wanted to go that direction with this message or not, but I just kept getting drawn back to that. What does it mean to love all? What does it mean to live our lives to model the reason that not only this season takes place, but that we call ourselves Christians, that we come to church on Sundays, that we strive to be better than our flesh and the world wants us to be? It's all because of the one sacrifice that God made, of sending His Son to this earth, of knowing that there's more than what we get to see in the snap of a finger that we live on this ball of dirt. And we know that. That's why we're here. But there's a whole world out there that doesn't. And that's why Love All, this fourth week of the Advent Conspiracy, to me is the most important, because this is how we get that message out there. We love. Just a few weeks ago in our men's group, I talked about something that I used to tell my youth group kids all the time. I've never heard anyone argued or debated into being a Christian. We have all the right answers, and the world has all the wrong answers, but that doesn't matter. They don't want to hear the right answers. They want to see us live it. They want to see us show them that love. And once that starts to happen, their lives start to change and transform. And maybe we don't get to see that. That's not the deal that God makes with us. Love that person that's hard to love, and you're going to get to see that transformation. No, it's love that person that's hard to love, and you're going to get to see me in heaven. That's a better trade to me. So I just have a couple of questions that I've been wrestling this week, and I wanted to share them with you so that you can be just as challenged as I have all week. What if just for a day we all lived like it really was the last day of our lives? What would you do? Who would you seek out? Who would you reconcile with? And how would you treat others? What if the scripture that says we don't know the day and the hour, what if that was for everybody else but you, and God let you in on the secret? And you knew when your last day was going to be. How would that change the way that you lived? How would you prepare for that last day? Some of you can probably see where I'm teeing this up a little bit. Because Advent is all about preparation. It's all about preparing for the coming of Christ. We don't know the day or the hour that Jesus is going to return for the second coming. We don't know the day of judgment. But you know what we do know? We do know when Christ is here, because he's here now. The Advent season is about preparing for the coming of Christ. And he's already here. So how have you prepared? We don't know the last day, but we can live like every day is the last day. We can love people that are hard to love. We can spread the gospel message rather than a political message or a personal message or a message of our flesh or a message of the world, with more than just words, but with actions. The Mayan calendar wasn't a sign of the apocalypse. It was wrong, just like a lot of other things before that was wrong. And there's probably going to be a lot of other things after that that are wrong. But we shouldn't have to wait until somebody's right to make a change. We can choose today to make a change. These last 4 weeks have been about doing Christmas differently. Maybe some of you have, maybe some of you haven't. But you know what? It's not too late, because it's not just about 4 weeks in December. It's about how we live life. It's about choosing today to live the rest of your life differently than you have up until this day. It's about saying, you know what, this and this and this are important to me because of my flesh, but tomorrow this and this and this are going to be more important to me, because that's what God's calling me to. It's not easy. Sometimes it's not fun. Sometimes it's going to make people confused and upset. But the benefit in the long run outweighs the detriment. I want to give you a little sneak peek about what we're going to be doing in our church starting in January that really, I think, brings all of this together and allows us to take that next step. And this is how I'll close. I'll just share with you what we're going to be doing. Starting on January 6th, we're going to kick off 40 days of prayer for our church. We were challenged recently at a ministry and council meeting that we as a church lack vision. And I don't think anybody in that meeting disagreed, and probably nobody here this morning disagrees. So what we're going to do is, starting January 6th for 40 days, we're going to commit to one another and to God to pray for our church. Not that God adds to our attendance or makes us famous or gives us money and riches and power, but that he gives us vision. That he gives us a clear sense of what it means for Bangor Liberty Church to be his hands and his feet in this community and in the world. Are we going to be challenged? Yep. Are we going to have to make changes? Probably. Are we going to like everything about it? I doubt it. But is it necessary? I think so. I've been here for 16 months. And almost from day one, you've heard me say that I'm excited about where we're at. That I sense God is going to do something big with this group of people, with this church, with this community. And I've had people look at me funny, and I've had people ask me when, and I've had people ask me what. And for a long time, I didn't know, and I still don't know exactly, but I think this is the beginning. We've talked in ministry and council meetings for the last several weeks about this, about the 40 days of prayer, about where it's going to lead, about the things that it's going to open up for us. We've talked about the things that God's been doing up until now and how we can be happy with what God's done up until now. We're in a good place as a church. Financially, we're set. Things look good on paper. The question we had to ask ourselves is, are we content? Or is God setting us up for something better? And I think that this Advent conspiracy and the messages that have led up until this point and the changes that God's making in my life and in our family's life and in the life of our ministry and council are all coming together. And pretty soon the top's going to pop off. And that exciting thing that we've all been talking about and waiting for, and none of us know what it looks like, is going to start to happen. But it starts with today's message. It starts with us loving. It starts with putting other people's priorities and the needs in front of our own. Seeing that we live in a broken world and that we can be the agent of change. Let's stop waiting for someone else to do it and let's step up to the line and do it ourselves. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful this morning for, first and foremost, for your Son, for the salvation that we find through a relationship with him. Lord, we're also thankful that you invite us to be part of the story, part of the redeeming work of this world that you're doing. Lord, I pray that each one of us takes that responsibility seriously, Lord, that we seek you out. We ask you, what can we do, Lord? Open doors and windows, Lord. Give us leadings and nudgings of ways that we can be agents of change in our area of influence, whether that be a workplace, a school, our neighbors, our friends, our church, wherever that might be. Help us to see those opportunities and to be obedient to live them out. Lord, we're excited about the fact that you are in this world. And even in the midst of all these crazy things that are going on and all these things that break our hearts, Lord, we know that you're still there. And that while you might not be the cause of them, you have a plan and a purpose to redeem them. That you can still turn those things for good because you tell us that all things work for the good of those who love you. And we love you, Lord. Lord, bless each one here as we leave. Bless each one as we celebrate the Christmas season together with our family and friends. Again, I ask that you just keep our minds focused on the true reason that we celebrate. It's fun to get presents. It's fun to eat food and to talk and to play games and all the things that come with that day and with that season. But help us not to forget why we have the freedom to do that. And that there's more to this world than those things. And we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.